Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Lyra, good afternoon.
How are you?
Will I call you a singer-songwriter, which kind of suggests folky guitar, depressing kind of music? You're a much more upbeat, epic proposition than that. Yeah, you've enjoyed huge success over the kind of last 5 years, really. But I think this was a really big breakthrough year for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Your debut album, Lyra, went to number one. Did you knock Beyonce off the top of the Irish charts, yeah?
I did, yeah. Who do I think I am? But we done it, everyone together. I do have to say Ireland massively came behind me. And we actually sold 50% more physicals than Beyonce in that 1 week. So I was thrilled with myself.
And come here, I was reading yesterday in The Sun, I think, that they're going to approach you for Eurovision next year.
I know, yeah. You know what? This is the first I've actually heard of that. And I'm
okay, well, I'll give you time to think about it, so, because I don't think you should give an answer to a big question like that
on
the spot. You don't have to decide now. So look, what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about your life in five songs. When you were growing up at home in Bandon, there was lots of music and singing in the house, yeah?
There was, yeah. We loved it. My mum's a great singer. My sister's a great singer. There's always a hooly in our house.
And you were in the choirs as well?
I was up in the choir. They shoved me down the back for a while because I obviously can tell a pretty loud voice. But then I took over the choir and I gave myself every solo there was. I was Oh Holy Night every Christmas and I loved it.
So people will be getting already that you're very much yourself, very confident in yourself and everything. Were you as a kid?
I wasn't actually, to be quite honest with you. This confidence, I suppose, has only come in the past, like, I'd say 3 to 4 years. Like, I've been quite late getting it. When I was growing up, I was kind of shy because of school and being bullied a lot and being told, like, kind of get back in your box. And the slogan of my life that I tell everyone is, who does Joanne think she is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got that a lot. So I always dull myself down so I wouldn't get my head beat off in school. So I haven't always been a confident girl. And then I started my music career and I was told again to change my accent, to change my diction.
So when you were a kid then, so your natural kind of inclination was to be kind of extra, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm always a bit extra, yeah. I love it.
And then, but that gets kind of not literally beaten out of you, but like it gets shoved down, yeah?
Yeah, you know, you stand out and people just think you're a target to mock or make fun of or just to take you down a peg or two. So it was kind of what happened to me when I was growing up.
And what does that do to you?
It kind of makes you feel like that who you really want to be is maybe too weird or you're a bit different, but not in a good way. I always kind of felt like, you know, by dulling myself down and kind of blending into the background that I was accepted more by my peers. And it knocks your confidence and it just makes you think that you're not good enough.
So look, anyway, you learned to let your light shine
as
time went on. So when did you decide to try and make a go of music then?
It kind of came a bit later for me. So I always loved to sing. You know, as I said, my mum, my sister, great singers, always brought up in a singing environment. But like I knew I kind of had to have another string to my bow than just being a singer because in Ireland we have millions of amazing singers. So I knew I had to bring something else. So it's when I started writing and I wrote my first song, Emerald, which I wrote actually for my nan because she was worried to death about me going into music industry. She's like, you'll be broke for the rest of your life. I was like, you're not wrong there, but sure, we'll keep going anyway. And she thought I was going down to the pub singing Caledonia for a free pint or something. So I wrote Emerald about her to play it to her. And I put it up online and it just had its own moment, which was kind of mad to me because it was like recorded in a garage and my vocals were as raw. I didn't really know what I was doing and it just took on a life of its own. And I got called over to England to a lot of major record labels and publishing houses and the whirlwind kind of started. And then I backtracked myself a bit where I took it down. I took a break because my nan, you know, God bless her, became ill and she was everything to me. So I took some time out of my career to come home, mind her, look after her. And then I suppose after another year or so, I decided, right, let's give it another go. Let's go for it.
Fair play for stepping back because like lightning doesn't strike twice. And given that was such a lucky thing in a way. I mean, it was down to you and the quality of the song. But it was such a lucky thing to happen. Yeah. to take the decision to actually not go with the momentum of that big break?
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was a moment where I was like, you know, like you said, we're kind of in an industry at the moment where like you're gone in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But I knew I'd always have my voice. I knew I'd always have my vocal ability. I wasn't always going to have my nan, and she meant everything to me. She reared me. So I was like, I would regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't take this time out to look after her. And I got to spend her last few months, you know, me and her living in her house with my sister, looking after her. Got to bring her home. She didn't have to stay in hospital. So that meant more to me than ever going anywhere in my career. It's about life. It's about family for me personally, and always will be.
Okay. Your first song choice today is someone who I know is a huge inspiration for you, Sinead O'Connor, and Nothing Compares to You. Why this?
Iconic. It's so iconic. So simple. Like, I remember first off hearing the song itself and just being really like brought in by Sinead's vocals. As I mentioned earlier, I was always told at the start of my career not to sing in my Irish accent, that my diction was shocking. And here's me listening to this beautiful, raw vocal that inspired me so much to be myself. And then on top of it, she brought out this most amazing but simple music video that stood for more than what I could ever imagine as a female artist. You know, she shaved her hair off when they were telling her to grow her hair long and wear makeup and wear the miniskirts, and she'd done it her way. And it's so raw and it's so powerful and it's so simple. The bells and whistles don't have to be attached to everything. And it just always stood out to me, I suppose, being female and her being female and that message of empowerment. I just loved it.
Okay, here's Larry's first choice, Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You. Okay, that's Lyra's first music choice today. Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You. You were saying your nan was a bit dubious about you getting into music, but I think your parents were very supportive of your pipe dream, were they?
Yeah, they were. You know, in fairness to them, they never turned around and said the line to me that I've heard all the time, like, are you going to get a proper job? They've never turned around and had that attitude towards me and my career. They always knew, I suppose, from a young age, wasn't great at school, let's be honest with you now. I was never going to be a French teacher. Shocking at languages.
Okay.
So they knew that when I went into my music classes, or like when I was in the school plays, or when I was in the choir, that that's where I really became me. And any parent just wants their child to be happy and pursue what makes them happy. So they stood by me. You know, I did go selling baby food and coffee in Tesco's to try and fund my first EP myself. And my dad always had my back with that. He was like, work hard for your money to show us that you really want this, but I am going to help you at the end of the day to get it across the line. So I'm very lucky. They come on tour with me and everything. I try and like have this experience with them as much as I can. Like, tour dad now gets stopped at shows for photos. He's mortified. He's there eating his chips in the background. They're like, tour dad. My mom is
and like, no, is he working? Is he earning his keep on tour?
I don't pay him. I'm sorry, dad.
Yeah.
The budget isn't there yet.
Right.
He does it for the love. And we've such amazing experiences going all around Ireland, you know, staying in hotels together, going for walks, going on the tour. And then my mom is amazing at the packed lunches. She keeps me fueled on the road.
Yeah, and your sister's a big part of the operation
she is,
as well,
she's
is she?
She's the one. She keeps me cool, calm, collective. And even if she's not there, she'll FaceTime and she'll be like, remember your worth. Remember you believed, like, be on that stage, believe in yourself. So I'm a very close family. I also have a brother. God bless him. He never gets a mention. But
oh, okay. I mentioned the brother.
Love
yeah,
you, KJ.
Yeah, and he's great too.
He
Yeah. You don't need to expand on what he does. Obviously, he's not contributing anything to the operation, but that's fine. We were talking there about the touring during the music, and I was asking if it costs a lot of money, but you said to me that the outfits, you really only can wear them kind of once. A lot of people come for the look as part of it all as well, yeah?
Yeah, it is. You know, I love having fun with the clothes. Like, it's not as if I can walk down to Aldi wearing what I wear on stage. So when I'm on stage, I want to wear something that when people see it, it's like, wow, she's putting on a show in all aspects. So I custom design my looks, and then there's a girl, Liza, in Cork that I go into in Phoenix V, and she brings the creations to life then for me. So I'm very lucky. And it's great crack. And people do mesh me and they're like, what are you wearing tonight? I can't wait to see the gram. And I'm like, oh, she's juicy tonight, lads. She's juicy.
Okay, the next music choice is kind of a tribute to the family, I think. Is it Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al?
Yeah, this one just has a very sentimental thing for me. So my sister was getting married. They call me Sarah Shadow, like she is my best friend. Anything she does, I want to do. Bar the marriage and the kids at the moment, I have a career to do.
Okay.
But she was getting married, so I put together a video of all of us family and all of her friends to this song. So I've been listening to it for about 6 months on repeat, editing this video together. And now whenever any of us that was on the video hear it, we like ring each other and like not even say anything, just like hold it to the speaker. And sometimes all you can hear if someone's in a pub is like chitter chatter, like, oh, the song must be on. And it's just a thing we have. And when I hear it, it just brings me so much happiness.
Okay, Lara's family can all ring each other now and hold up the phone to the radio. Here's Lara's second choice, Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents, there were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you daddy, and daddy when you call me, you can call me Al.
Okay, that's Larry's second choice, You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. Why did you pick that song for the video about your family?
My sister's second name is Betty. So like sometimes we're like, Betty, come over here, girl. So I was like, you can call me Betty. I just love it. It's just such a feel good.
There was actually dancing going on in the box out there. I always have to tell this story when I hear this song, right? I went to see Paul Simon, right? And obviously Paul Simon is some of the greatest songs in the canon of American music. And he's playing all the classics and everything, right? And everyone's sitting down and clapping politely. And then he does like what you might regard as like from his classic period. He does You Call Me Al, and the whole place goes mental. I'm sure it's depressing for Paul Simon every night, where he's thinking, I will bridge over troubled water, the sound of silence. What's wrong with you people? But there you go.
People what they want.
Yeah, exactly. So come here, you talked there about, so when you were a kid being told you're not enough, and you mentioned then going into the music industry and kind of being told you're not right either.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Juicy road, wasn't it? Oh my. So when I started out, obviously I have an Irish accent from Ireland. Couldn't bait it out of me.
That's not even an Irish accent. It's a very special, specific kind of Irish accent. Like, yeah.
So yeah, they were just saying my diction wasn't great. And I'd get demos back sometime. And I swear to God, it wasn't me singing on the song. And I was like, who is your one?
Oh, they'd fix it, like?
Well, they didn't, they said. They were like, that's you. I was like, it is, yeah, to be sure. But sometimes I know that they used to get people to put like s-t-t in to put them, or sometimes they get me to do them so they could add them onto the words. So I had that, and then I had that I didn't look like a pop star, basically, that I needed to lose loads of weight. So there was that. There was also don't talk in between my songs. And you know me, I have the gift of the gab, I basically snogged the Blarney Stone, I'd say. So it was all things that kind of I felt like really made me uniquely me, were trying to get bashed out of me that it's not the way I should be.
And does that chip away then at your confidence?
Absolutely. I was a shell of a woman for a very, very long time, and I was just not happy. I was angry with the world, with myself, with everyone. I just wasn't a happy person because I always felt like I wasn't enough. And I go into the studio, I was write really not my best songs because I was always felt like I was trying to please somebody, and that doesn't bring out the best in anyone.
Mm.
So I went through a pretty rough time. And I suppose it's when I decided you can either go on this path and, yeah, probably get there a lot sooner than I have got here, but be absolutely miserable. And I don't think I would be able to keep going. So I decided, you know what, cut your losses, leave and be you. And if it doesn't work that way, then you've only yourself to blame. Whereas if you keep playing this game with other people kind of like dictating your life, then I kind of would regret it.
And does that kind of bring us on to your next song choice, which is Lord and Royals?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful song. And you know what? It's the first time that I saw written art pop in relation to a song. And it kind of meant so much to me because songwriting is an art, but you get categorised into this pop box.
Yeah.
That is kind of like glitzy, glammy. And I don't even know if like a lot of people take it very seriously in the music industry. When you say you're a pop artist, they're kind of like, oh,
it's kind of
somebody
away,
else like writes her songs and she gets told okay, what to do kind yeah. of thing. So when I saw this art pop, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. Art pop. She created a pop song that was so out of the ordinary for what pop music normally was. It was dark. It had its element. It was very stripped production wise. And for a song as minimalistic as it was, it let her vocals really ring through and her songwriting ring through. And it was huge. And I was like, this is it. This is my turning point. Like, this is what I want to be.
Okay, here's Lyra's third choice. This is Lord and Royals.
My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be.
Okay, that's Lord Royals, and that is Lyra's third choice today. And it's interesting what you say about that people can dismiss pop music, but like, I think of how much pop music meant to me as you had different kinds of it and stuff like that, you know, but it means a lot to kids to hear, I suppose, pop music that says something to and where the artist feels like they're kind of being intimate with you or expressing themselves in that way, which you kind of do in your music. Is it hard to do, to open yourself up like that in your music?
I actually find it a lot easier to do. Like, I couldn't sit down and write a song about something that I haven't experienced or hasn't happened to me or I don't have an emotional connection to. It has to be really from the heart and what I've been through, because I need to go back into that moment to be able to write about it and tell the story. And yeah, there is sometimes, like, there was one song that I was like, oh God, do I bring this out? Like, it's a bit scary.
Which song?
29 Box. When I first bought out 29 Box, I was kind of on
okay.
the fence.
Because what's it about?
It's about basically the world of social media and this kind of feeling like we all have to fit in a filter, kind of, and that we're all stuck in this 29 Box and what we portray outside in that. Like, if you look at my Instagram and I'm there and I'm all glam in the photo shoots and sure, you see me 5 minutes and I have pseudocream on my face and I'm in my pajamas and, you know, we don't see real people sometimes on it, and it's hard. And I suppose people look at me and sage all diamantes and all this and think I'm this powerful kind of woman. But behind it all, I'm just like every single other person, and what people write about me online hurts me sometimes. And I wanted to write about it and show my vulnerable side. And I wrote 29 Box, and, you know, the lyrics are quite raw and they're really telling a story, and I was worried about bringing that out, but I had to. And when I did, the amount of messages I got from young people saying thank you for making this normal, that you felt like that because of social media, basically.
Yeah. So is that what your fans respond to then? Is there, they feel a connection and a relatability with you rather than you being like up there as some kind of different creature and them being like ordinary people?
Yeah, and I think it's very important for me that I'm not this on a pedestal artist and everything else is below me, because that's not who I am as a person. And I strongly, strongly believe, and I say it at all my shows, that us as artists get nowhere without our fans. We don't. We are all on the same level, because without them, we are people who like to write songs and sing in our bathrooms and my neighbours absolutely hate me. Yeah. That's who we are. And it's until they show up, they buy the tickets, they download the music, you know, that makes Lyra. That's who Lyra becomes because of them. You know, otherwise I'm singing in a room to nobody. So it's very important for me that we're all on the same page here. I just get up and dance like an absolute banshee and sing like it's coming out of my soul. It's the only difference.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, your next choice. I don't know if we're allowed to play this on many levels, because firstly, we're playing a Christmas song in November. And secondly, I think in some quarters now, Band-Aid is kind of semi-cancelled, but you're the boss today. So why are we playing this?
Oh God, now I'm nervous. I'll get cancelled out myself in a minute.
I think it's okay, because you know what? Once it comes on, everybody knows every word and every beat of this song. Like it's part of who we are practically at this stage. So we're okay, I think. Yeah.
And I love Christmas too, by the way. Yeah. I literally watched The Grinch all through the year. It's my favourite movie of all time. So I am literally Mrs. Claus. I just found when this song was out and my mum and dad used to be playing it and I saw the video for it, it was just a bunch of icons coming together, leaving their egos at the door for a greater cause. And that's why I love this song. You know, I just think it's fantastic and it's just iconic, isn't it? I don't think it'll ever be recreated in that kind of iconic status of
Yeah, really. Because I think, or is it just because of my age at the time that it came out, that all those people were like, you know, the big stars at the time? But I think, are there equivalents of that kind of bunch of people now as well? Or is it different now?
Well, we definitely have Adele anyway. She is one juicy gem that is in that like iconic sphere. Like, she is. But I do find like, and obviously, here's me saying it. No, I'm Lyra. I've one debut album, went number one in Ireland. There's me like, well, who are the icons of the world?
Yeah, but go on. No, this is interesting, right?
I do kind of find that, you know, back in those days, icons were icons for their art and their music. And they were bringing out bodies and bodies of work that kind of created this path for them. And I do feel like nowadays we're in a very disposable, fast-paced world where it's like, entertain me in 30 seconds or you're forgotten about. So it's hard to get the iconic status when you're not given a long period of time to
Yeah, because you know those people as well, they would have two or three albums that were allowed to do nothing. Mm-hmm. And then when they got successful, they'd get 2, 3, 4 years between albums. But is there ferocious pressure now all the time? Like, you did number one album earlier this year. Are you already thinking, okay, I need to keep feeding the beast here? Like, that kids now expect new stuff all the time, yeah?
Yeah, like album two, I'm already writing it. You know, as I said, you have to keep going. Like, it's a constant thing where everyone wants. And once an album comes out, even though it takes you 3, 4 years to create, people have listened to it. And after a few weeks, they're like, cool, heard that now. Let's move on. And I'm like, hang on.
I have to live life a bit more first and get some songs.
I need a few more ex-boyfriends to write the next album about. Hang on there.
Okay, let's take Lyra's fourth choice next anyway. Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
For the other ones at Christmas time, it's hard.
There it is. We could have stayed here. We could have stayed here and just run with the rest of that. It's funny. You think a song that you've heard like 2 million times would lose something in it, but actually, it kind of works every time, doesn't it?
Every time. I call these songs the evergreen songs. They will stand the test of time. It's not a trend. It's not a fad. It's pure, juicy art.
Yeah, and you couldn't help but do the impersonation of Bono in front of the microphone for his and we know that line is all wrong in so many ways now and everything, but still, like, you know.
We love
him. Yeah, yeah. So, Camille, your final choice today, you've mentioned Adele already. So she is somebody that you look at her and think, if I could have that career, yes?
Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely. What I love about Adele is that she is... still kept her very human side, that, you know, you feel like if you met her at a pub, you could be like, hi, how are you? How's it going? That you wouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't go near her. She could bait the head off me. So I just love her. And like when she's on stage, she speaks exactly how she wants. She's not completely media trained. So as another artist that, you know, likes that personal approach, I find her just amazing. And obviously her voice and her songwriting.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, I think people are getting Adele vibes off you today. Loads of texts here, like, so refreshing, so natural, here's to being herself. Such a down-to-earth woman, great example to all young people, says Mary. Don't feel bad about your accent, girl, says someone else. I think Larry would be a natural radio presenter, so natural and uninhibited. Larry, you're amazing. I love her. You're so proud and articulate and with that beautiful Cork accent. Larry, never change. And like Roy Keane, you're a Cork treasure. That's from Maria in West Cork. And I'm afraid there are a few people as well saying you should consider representing Ireland in the Eurovision. I think she'd be great, says Anita. I think you should... don't give an answer on that now.
Yeah,
tell you. That's one to be thought about very carefully. Listen, Lyra, thank you so much. You have a Christmas EP. We were talking about Christmas there.
Yeah.
You're kind of pushing that again now for Christmas.
Well, sure, every Christmas, like Mariah, I'll be rolling exactly. Myself out. Yeah. Like, come here to me, listen to this.
Yeah, and there's your own Christmas song, which is called...
The Magic of Christmas.
The Magic of Christmas. And then you do three beautiful covers as well on it. Yeah. So it's worth people looking up that. Okay, Lyra, thank you. And we finish with your final choice today. And it's Adele... it's Hello, Why Hello?
You know what? This song was a marketing masterpiece. So we're all sitting down watching TV, black screen. All you hear is, hello. And the world went into chaos. It was like, she is back. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, to have that power by singing one word, I was like, amazing. And obviously the song did live up to the hype. So here she is.
Okay. Okay, and listen as well, your debut album, Lyra, it's been out a few months, but it's still fresh as a daisy.
Yeah,
it's there for people, and second one coming soon then.
It is. Oh, she's juicy, and the ex-boyfriend's been left behind for this one, so it's all about me.
Okay, juicy is going to be my new word. Lyra, thanks a million. Here's Adele. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles.